Good morning, everybody. Hello. I see a few friends and people I haven't seen for a while, so bless all of you for coming today. You're very brave. Now, I want to tell you, if this preach today were a book, it would be called The Announcement. Why Angels Aren't Cute and Mary Did Know. Or The Announcement, The Musical, because of course it is a musical. It's got it all. It's got big angels, it's got romance, it's got babies, and then they break into song. But first, I want to ask, and I noticed there are not a lot of teenagers in here today. They're all hiding, because they must have realized I was going to ask them the question, and they're not ready for it. All right, what do you know about 1066? Because if you live in Waltham Abbey, you don't know about 1066. That's shameful. Right? Well, I was going to test the youngsters and see what they're learning in school nowadays. But the only teenager in here today is the one who knows everything about it. All right. Curtis, why did we lose?
Poor planning.
Poor planning, apparently. Anything else?
Bad ground.
It was muddy. Anything else? Stamford Bridge.
Which one are you talking about?
The one up north. Yeah, because they had to fight up north and then Harold had to walk all the way back. I was hoping to catch out a few of the teenagers, but they must have got wind of it. They're all hiding. Now, if you live in Waltham Abbey, and if you're proper British, you know about everything about 1066. But what about Christmas? Many of us are a little bit hazy about the details, even if we like a bit of a deep love of mince pies and glitter. And if you get your facts about Christmas from Christmas carols, you are out of luck. Because most of them sound good. I love me a Christmas carol. But they have made up stuff in them. All right, there were not three kings. We three kings. Jesus did not come sailing into Bethlehem. I saw three ships come sailing in. Right? And there wasn't any snow either. For the Anglicans amongst you, see amid the winter snow. There are some historically accurate carols, and I can tell you about them later if you like, or you can ask Marion, because she and I, we know all the carols. Okay. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas. Clues in the name, Christ Mass. And if you want to know, if you really want to know what happened, you're going to find it in this book. It is a big book, though, especially mine. Where in this book would you go to find answers about Christmas? Well, Jesus' life is described in four biographies, two by people who knew him and two by historians. So we are going to read from Luke, the historian, chapter 1, verse 26 through to verse 38. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her, Elizabeth, who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This young woman, Mary, lived quietly in Nazareth. In fact, it had been spiritually quiet in the nation of Israel for years. After being led by great prophets, brave warriors and kings, Israel had struggled as bigger and stronger countries tried to take them over. There was now no superhero, king or rebel leader to beat off the power of the Roman Empire. And so all of Israel was under the power of Rome, waiting and hoping to be set free. Meanwhile, here's Mary. Now she's not just engaged, she's betrothed. That sounds fancy, doesn't it? And it is. Betrothal was a legal promise to marry, and it was something you had to stick to. It could only be broken by a divorce. So Mary was definitely hitched and connected to Joseph. She's minding her own business, and I imagine her at home, washing dishes or making bread, and suddenly an angel's in her face. So I want to just get this straight before we go any further. Angels are not cute. They don't have curly golden afros. They aren't tall, willowy blondes in long, see-through chiffon dresses and with spangles in their hair. Angels are messengers and supernatural servants of God. It's a bit like having the Royal Mail crossed with the SAS. Angels are big, scary-looking dudes, and whenever people see them, they react really badly. So let me show you. For this, I need a big, tall, scary-looking man. Where can I get one? Jeff, come back. Anyway. All right. We can't use Ez because he is big, but he's far too chatty and sociable. We can't choose Curtis because he's also far too polite and sociable to be scary. Big David's not here this morning, but I wasn't going to use him anyway because he would just hug you. He ain't scaring nobody. I was going to choose Jeff, but he's run away. Ian, up you get. Ian, I want you to discover your inner vandal man, all right? I want you to go up to some random woman in the room and say in a loud voice, "Hail, blessed are you among women." Off you go.
Okay. Hail, blessed are you among women.
That's not scary enough. Come on. Put some welly in it. Yes, go one more time for the people in the back. Go on. Look at look at her. She was terrified, and that was only Ian. Yeah, I'm finished. Just imagine that was just Ian, and she was like, "Woo!" Like, imagine if some big man appeared in your front room. How would you react? Of course, all the single ladies, you'd be down on your knees saying, "Thank you, Lord. My prayers are answered. You sent me a husband at last." The rest of us, though, we would be scared. So it's no wonder that the angel Gabriel says to her, "Fear not." In the Bible, angels are always telling people not to be scared. Fear not. After they scared them half to death. But Gabriel has news. Mary has been chosen for a world-changing mission. In verse 31, he tells her, "You will, not you might, you shall have a son. The power of God will make it happen. The baby will become a man who will save humanity and change history." In verse 32, it tells us he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. Now, people back then were just as sensible as people are now. Mary had a little think about what the angel Gabriel said. She knew exactly where babies come from and she knew she was a virgin. People back then were not easily led, no matter what you might hear from skeptics. But Mary is also able to speak up, and she asks, "How is this possible, since she's never been with a man?" The baby also has a name picked out by God, Jesus, or Yeshua, in her language. This is a shocking set of facts for Mary to take in. Wait a minute, I've been minding my own business in this ordinary town, and suddenly I'm engaged. There's an angel from heaven in my house. I'm pregnant. The baby is the Messiah, which means the chosen one, the Son of God. God's supernatural power has invaded and disrupted my whole life. That's a great deal to take in on top of planning a wedding. And planning a wedding is enough stress in itself. We've had two weddings in our church lately, and we've got another one coming. I don't know about
if Hayley and Vanilla turned into Bridezilla, all right? But
this holy kind of mad supernatural stuff would definitely make me confused and a little bit upset. But remember, however, that God had chosen her for this role. She was a mother who'd been handpicked. In Matthew's biography of the life of Jesus, we are told that her fiancé Joseph was a just man, a fair man. Mary and Joseph were also so brave. They had to make that hard journey to Bethlehem, and then they had to have a long migration to Egypt to escape assassins who were after their child. They went through so much for the great mission of making a way for Israel to be free, in fact, a way for the whole world to be free. And Jesus also described himself as having a great mission. He said he was here to seek and to save the lost. He said he had come to bring eternal life, everlasting life. And the angel Gabriel said that Mary was highly favored, chosen to rear and to raise Jesus the Messiah. Mary said that she would accept this word or message from the angel, be it to me according to your word. And the Bible, as you know, perhaps wasn't written in English. It was written in Greek, which was widely used in that part of the world at that time. And the historian Luke wrote the word rhema, which means a specific message. It's a bit like having a letter or a text or a phone call that's directed specifically at you. And of course, if I phoned you, you'd need to answer or respond, right? And Mary responded. She said, yes, I'll do it. Mary said that she would accept this word or message from the Lord, and it was specifically for her. And from this moment, the world began to change. And you might ask yourself, well, surely it was after Jesus was born that the world-shaking mission began. Surely it was after Jesus was born that things began to change. Surely it was after he was born that we said AD, all right? But I want to ask you, were you like Jeff always bunking off school, all right? Because did you miss the lesson where they told you where babies come from? Come on. Or let me ask you this, because you're people of today. Haven't you seen those cute little ultrasound photos? Yeah. Look. It's a picture of our twins, right? And we decided we're going to call them Harry and Meghan. Right. So you know where babies... I've got to get some Meghan in there. Come on. So you know that babies are alive in the womb. Jesus was alive in Mary's womb while she was pregnant. Therefore, Jesus did not arrive at Christmas. He arrived when he was conceived. Jesus was here before Christmas. How could this be true, Antia? Here is a passage in the Bible, just to shine up, make this stuff up. It's in Luke, again, chapter 1, verse 39 to 56. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted her cousin Elizabeth. And it happened that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him, revere him, and honour him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant, the nation of Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, and as to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her for about 3 months and returned to her house. So after 400 years, the Spirit of God starts falling on people like spring rain. And now, with spiritual insight, with God's insight, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, is able to understand the special nature of Mary's baby. Elizabeth calls Mary the mother of my Lord in verse 43. That baby is my Lord. she says. Meanwhile, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, called John, he recognizes Jesus. Baby John would later grow up to be one of the greatest people in the Bible, and Jesus said that, not me. So both Elizabeth and her unborn baby recognized Jesus as the chosen one, the Christ. So we've had babies, an angel, and now it's time for the song. Mary's beautiful words have often been set to music, especially classical music. And I'm hoping that at the end of church today, you will hear a modern version of her words and Elizabeth's words performed by Donna Summer and Crystal Lewis. Mary gives thanks in her song to God for what he has done and what he will do in the future. She has confidence that God cares about the poor and the downtrodden, that God will do great things, and that the story of her life will be remembered. She's realized her place in history, and Mary gives the credit for that to God. At this time of year, you might hear also a modern Christmas song that has become a bit of a classic. The words are touching and the melody is beautiful, and many of us really enjoy listening to it. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy...
Wait, stop.
This is beautiful, but I'm going to use a very technical term here. It don't make no sense. Mary, did you know that your baby was the Eternal One, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Almighty God, Maker of the Universe? Yes, she did. Yes, she knew, because the angel Gabriel told her. That's what angels do, okay? The angel told her, Jesus is a king who will rule forever. His kingdom will never end. Now the queen, God bless her.
It might feel as if she's been on the throne forever, but not really.
One day, someone else will be in charge, and I'll leave it right there. If Jesus is going to live forever, he's not like the queen, is he? And he's not like other babies, is he? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know her baby is divine? Yes, she knew because the angel Gabriel told her. Mary also knows things that aren't in that Christmas song. Mary set the birth of Jesus in the context of the history of the Jews. God had promised a savior centuries before to her ancestors, and Mary remembers that. In the Bible account of events, Mary sings that God spoke to our fathers. And centuries before, God revealed to a man called Isaiah that there would be a savior born. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And the zeal, the strength of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Mary knew perfectly well that her baby was kickstarting the fulfillment of destiny. So who is this baby going to be? What is Jesus going to be like? The people from centuries before had shared messages from God about the king yet to be born. Everyone in Israel, therefore, thought they knew what Jesus would be like. Tough, bold, wise, regal, like a cross between Vin Diesel, Prince Harry, and Yoda.
Kick Roman butt will I. King of kings I am. However, Jesus
was so much more than an action hero. And I remember one day here where Haley said that wherever he was, Jesus was always the kindest person in the room. If you look at the biographies in the Bible, you will see that Jesus is a tough guy and a tough talker. He's also endlessly loving, generous and kind. And that in itself is so unusual, a mixture. Jesus isn't an average bloke. He is the great savior. Even when we think we don't need saving because we live in a rich country and we have enough money for a few days out now and then. The consistent, constant message of history is of God's love for us. And Jesus, this carpenter with the rough hands, has a tender heart of love for you. He's ready to meet you. That's why he's also called Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus can meet you and answer your questions better than any slick politician or savvy professor. Are you tired? Jesus says, come to me. I'll show you how to have rest in the middle of chaos. Do you feel as if you are stumbling around in the darkness of fear? That's easy to do, isn't it? Especially when you don't know what's coming ahead of you in the future. I know that. Jesus says, I am the light. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness anymore. Are you looking for a safe place where you can live fully and be free? Jesus says, I am the door. If you follow me, you can go in and out and you'll always have a home. Are you tired of life? Jesus says, I am the shepherd. You can rely on me to take care of things, like a farmer takes care of his flock. Jesus says, I am the vine. Stay close to me and your life will be fruitful. Are you looking for your basic needs to be met? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. If you come to me, you won't grow hungry and you won't go thirsty either. Are you asking if this life is all there is? Work, play, die, and then nothing? Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the rising from the dead. I am the conqueror of death. Do you want the way to enlightenment? The road to heaven? Jesus says, I am the way. I know where I'm going. Follow me and I'll take you the right way. Are you tired of fake news and lying liars? Till you don't know who to trust anymore? Jesus says, I am the truth. You can trust what I say. Are you dead inside, needing shaking up and turning upside down? Jesus says, I am the life. Death doesn't have to be the end. Follow me, and eternal life begins today. And so with that message from the angel Gabriel, there's a direct line from Mary to you and to me. The historical account has a message for you, that the consistent love of God is here, right here to work in our lives. And in a chapter that's right in the middle of my Bible, in the book of Lamentations, it says that God's compassions do not fail. They don't stop. They don't run out. They are new every morning. And great is his faithfulness. So, at Christmas, I'm going to ask you, do you hear what I hear? Are you listening for what God is saying to you in the music and in the messages? Because this announcement is not just to Mary, it's for you and me. And the announcement is that Jesus the Savior is here. He's here today. That's good news. That's it.